My heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is not where we're going to be hanging out, but I wanted to read this. This is Song of Solomon 1:4. Take me away with you and let us run. The king has taken me away with him into his chambers. We will rejoice in you and be glad. We will extol your love more than wine. Rightly do we love you. For me, getting older is, there are challenges, but there's spiritual rejoicing. There's so many things that you want to say, but there's never enough opportunity to say it all. Because if the king's brought you into his chambers, you just want to exalt him. There are just so many stories. The grace of God is so surpassing. You never run out of stories about the grace of God. So bear with me if I ramble a little bit. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who continually, that's the language, gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory is not a formula. Victory is not an encounter. Victory is not bouncing off the floor. It can enhance, it can promote, it can awaken, it can stir things up. But victory is something that you walk in every minute that's given to you in the person of Jesus by his grace. Thanks be to God who continually gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And thankfully, we carry the indwelling Christ with us as the source of all grace, all the free outpouring of the Lord's affection and ability in us. It says in Colossians chapter 3, it says, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now in Christ, who is your life, is revealed, you'll be revealed with him in his glory. Now he says there that Christ is our life, and that Christ, in 1 Corinthians 15:57, is our source of victory. When we talk about victorious Christian living, it's important that we don't create our own idea of what victory looks like. It's the victorious life that Jesus lives. It'll look a lot like the life that he lived on earth. Even though the scripture says he was tempted in every way, like unto us, yet Jesus walked in consistent victory. And his victory, let me give you an example. If you have a person who has struggled with addiction, say alcoholism, and the Lord Jesus Christ saves them, and they come and they enter into a form of victory. But that form of victory is that they're having to hang on, they're having to cling tight. Because they have to drive home every day past their former favorite bar. And every day as they pass that favorite bar, the desires to go in there are almost overwhelming. They're having to grit their teeth spiritually. And they spend a lot of times in the secret places of their own mind dealing with desires that are so strong, they're so overwhelming. I don't think that's the kind of victory that Jesus lived in. Christians will never be void of being tempted, but I don't believe that the life that Jesus lived and therefore wants to live in us is a life of where you're constantly trying to resist overwhelming desires. The scripture talks about us being set free from the lusts of the flesh. That word there is not about sexual things. That word just means strong desires that your heart has been set upon. There's one thing to have temptation. It's another thing to have strongholds. And strongholds are those areas in our life that it's just obsessive thinking and desiring for it. Well, victory is the cleansing us of desires also. Not that we won't get tempted, but we won't have this consuming thing. It's kind of like gravitational pull. That's the law of sin in our members. And there's always this gravitational pull. And if your idea of victory is you're going to get somebody to string a rope from one tree to the next, about 10 feet off the ground. And you climb a ladder and you jump up on that rope and you hang on to it. And you are now claiming victory because you're not on the ground. But it is a constant, fierce, gritting your teeth struggle. That's not victory. That's not the victorious life that Jesus lives. But it says in Romans chapter 8, for the law of sin and death. For the law of life has set you free, past tense, from the law of sin and death. If you fall into the water and you swim as much as you can and you finally get exhausted and start to drown, and someone comes along and in a boat and they take hold, and you take hold of the boat, then you're being set free from drowning because of the power of that boat to float. Not because of your ability, but there's a clinging. But at some point, if the person who's driving a boat says, well, why don't you get in the boat? And there's still the power of the boat, its ability to float, setting you free, but you're now resting in that instead of trying to cling to the rope. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. And so one of the great analogies is the law of aerodynamics. If you get into an airplane, you don't try to hang on to the ceiling or cling to the seat so that gravity doesn't take you to the ground. You simply take your place and rest in the fact that the law of aerodynamics, as long as it's working, is setting you free from the law of gravity that would pull you to the ground. Worrying about it can't help. Striving can't help. Clinging to your seat can't help. Trust me, if the plane goes down, you can put your head between your legs and hold on all you want to, and you'll just be shorter when you get squished when you hit the ground. Tell you that little flotilla thing, it'll just have something to hold on to as you drown when you hit the water. I remember one time getting in a Southwest airplane, they're so funny, and they were the stewards and stewardesses were flight attendants were giving the instructions, you know, and if we should hit water, get one of the floats and put it in your hands. And then the man said, as if that would help. I said, at least he's honest. It's not a clinging faith trying to help. It's a resting faith. And as long as you're resting in him, absolutely confident in his power to overcome sin's pull, then you're not sitting there sweating like you're hanging from a rope, hoping that you don't fall. You're enjoying his ability to set you free from sin's power. And it even changes your desires. We'll probably talk about that part more tonight for CTKers. But it's no victory. And I can share these things with you because, one, I'm a student of this, but also because I've lived a life of experience. I'm 62, and so I've been pursuing this all my life because I was mentally ill at one time. And through trial and sadly failure, at 62, I can say more to you about grace than I ever could before. But I can tell you this, if your idea of victory is clinging and hanging on for dear life, and every once in a while it just gets too big and you just have to fall down on the ground and then you're in the sin again, and then you go, okay, let's go at it again. You climb the ladder and get back up and start hanging on again. That's not victory. That's not the victorious life that Jesus lives. If you have consuming thoughts of lust or consuming thoughts of hatred, consuming thoughts of unforgiveness, consuming thoughts of fear, consuming thoughts of anger, on and on, consuming thoughts of pride or self-pity or insecurity, and you're doing better, that's not Jesus' idea of victory. Victory is victory. He says that we're called to be overwhelming conquerors, where it even affects the desires. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.